We invite you to listen and grow to this Blow Up Business and Lifestyle Magazine show. With hosts Paul and Deb Rees, experts in business, leadership and lifestyle.
Skilling your softy to a successful you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
Whoa, oh my word, we're in and we're up and running and boom! Wow, those weeks go super fast. Soup, remember the Bionic Man? I don't think anybody would remember that. It was back in my time, the Bionic Man. I mean, man, this man could do things fast. And that's exactly how these weeks are going. They're just like flying in and out. Actually, I don't think I get a whole week. I think my weeks are 3 days, not 7 days. Because somewhere, I'm losing days. I'm sure it's the same for everybody. But here we are, listeners, and thank you for coming in with your earworm and listening to our shows and being ready to put yourself in the firing line, you know, the emotional firing line, and listen to our deep dive conversations, because darn and blast, do I have a guest for us here today. But hey, before I jump into that, I want to say, guess who's not with me? Yes, the person, we were married, you know. Am I still married? I think I am. I just don't see her very often. Do you know what I mean? I said to her this week, Deb, you're on the jingle. You're on the jingle on the way into the show, which means you have to be here. I'll be there, Paul. Oh, yeah, well, you're committed. If not, I'm going to fire her. And guess what? I'm going to say, send me an application form. Who wants to present with me? Who wants to be my presenter with me? Because you know what? I'm on my own. Yes, I am, and I don't know how I feel, because I'm a kind of people person. I get energized from being around people. And here I am in my office on my tour. Deb's away for another week. The dogs are not eating. Look at that. They're pining. They're not eating. The same biscuits are in the bowl from 2 days ago. And I'm saying to them, do you know what? Don't make me feel guilty, man. You're choosing not to eat. That's up to you. But don't come in my bowl when I choose to eat. Dogs are like that. Dogs will not eat their food. You don't go in their bowl grabbing their food, but they'll come in yours. You know what I mean? Now, I think actually, maybe dogs will make good business people. Think about this. Well, you know what? I'll keep my food and then I'll eat yours. I mean, that's pretty sensible when you think about it. But is it the right thing? Hey, who knows? But yeah, so let me tell you about my week, man. It's been pretty full on. I've had a real exciting week. I'm in a sense of, so I've got an invite to go to London. Now, London is London for lots of people, but for me, it's like a train journey, and I'm like a kind of more of a country lad. Do you know what I mean? I don't really get on with the craziness and the bustle of London. I go there, and it kind of makes me feel a little bit lost, a nausea, almost emotionally. It's like, man, all these people mixing emotions, but nobody actually really caring for each other. But anyway, I'm on my way there in this month, and but I've been asked to go in and train 7 business directors from Nigeria. I'm really excited about this because I love that differentiating in how we think differently in different countries. So I'm really stoked about that idea of going there and doing that. But you know what? Other than that, let me share something with you. I've got a new bike on the way. You all know how I feel about my biking. I got a new one on the way, man. I don't think I should have said that really, because I think Deb knows. That's a bit late now, isn't it? Anyway, let me move on a little, because here's the thing. The most important thing for us to remember is, do you have an emotionally healthy business? And think about that. Do you have an emotionally healthy business? Now, that brings me on to our theme for today. We're going to be talking about the importance of emotions, business, and guess what? Money. We're going to put money on the end of that also. It's going to be a real deep dive financially today with our guest we have. So let me just, without further ado, let me introduce who we have with us today, because even though Deb is not with me, she's given me an intro. Yes, I said, Deb, write me an intro, love. I need something special because it's a pretty special guest. Here we are. Let me read this out to you. And I haven't actually read through it, so I'm going to hopefully I get it right. So, oh, wow. Yeah, she put a, oh, wow. She started with a, oh, wow. Do we have a dynamic, knowledgeable, lovable lady on the show for us today? We truly do. Bright, intelligent. She is the mistress of she is the mistress of money. Our guest today will blow your socks off and blow all the thick negative cobwebs you carry of your money mindset away. Yes, her fresh approach to money will change the way you think and take you into the new money pastures that will change your money pastures that will change your life. This is a must listen. So listeners, get a pen and paper. I'm going to give you a few seconds to make that happen. Get a pen and paper. She's brave. She's beautiful. She's the best in the business. And she is. Trust me. Please welcome to the show the heroine of finances. I'm sure I said that right. Heroine of finances. The fantastic. Here we go. Bonnie Snaith. Let me give this girl a round of applause. Bonnie Snaith. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. Oh, my goodness. How on earth am I going to follow that?
Yeah, well, do you know what? You don't need to follow it, girl, because here's the thing. Everything you do is perfect. Oh. Everything you do is perfect. Now, I'm scrambling here to get my, here we are, I need to get my clock back up because I need to be on time with the show. But here's the thing. You're someone that understands the layers of money in life. Now, when I met you, and I've said, listeners, I've been lucky to have some real awesome conversations with Fanny because of her expertise. And when you meet someone that understands the true value of money habits, that's something you want to hang on to and keep in your life toolbox. And I'm guessing, Fanny, that you're a toolbox for many when it comes to understanding the true emotion of money in life.
It's a toolbox box bigger than you've ever seen.
I'm guessing. Huge. What took you into this, I don't know, this niche? Now, there are financial advisors,
yeah,
and there are money managers, but you're different.
I am.
You're an emotional money makeover.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. Tell us about what it is you bring into your client.
Okay. Well, which question do you want me to answer first? How I got into it or what do I bring to my clients?
I tell all of it. And you choose.
Okay. So I have been professionally working with people and money for 7 years now. And at that time in my life, I was just getting to my 50s. So if you probably don't know this, well, you haven't experienced this, Paul, but when you get to that sort of age in your life as a woman,
yeah,
it's quite, let's just call it, it's a transitionary phase. It's a transitionary phase. So other people call it a horrible midlife crisis. So I had a midlife crisis. I was in a job that I didn't like. There were all sorts of other things going on. So it was a culmination of various things.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been interested in money. I've always loved the world of money. I made probably the biggest financial decision I ever made when I was 10 years old, which was standing in my local comprehensive school in the free school meals queue. They separated us then. They had free school meals on one side and paid people on the other side.
I remember that.
And I was an extremely angry young lady. I was the youngest person in what we called the first year now. They call it year seven now.
Yeah.
I was the youngest and I was the tallest. And I was standing there feeling like Big Bird. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have any friends because this was the first term and I had just come out of an expensive boarding school to join this free school meals queue at the local comprehensive. And in the space of about 6 months,
yeah,
we had gone from being a wealthy family with a fantastic future,
yeah,
to being literally paupers. Where because,
really?
Yeah, literally paupers. And I was very, very angry. I was extremely disappointed and felt very let down by the adults around me. Mm-hmm. And I made a decision at that point, standing in this queue with everybody looking at me. Oh, and just to top it all, I had quite a posh voice. And the school was down in Bristol, and they looked at me like I was the rich bird, but actually didn't have any money whatsoever.
Wow.
And I made a decision that I was never going to be financially beholden to anybody when I grew up, and that I was going to become a millionaire.
Wow.
So that was where my interest in money started, I guess.
So at that very young age there, Fanny, you understood what it felt like to go from Milo to zero emotionally at the age of 10.
Yes, but there was an interesting part that played out before that as well. So my mum was married and divorced 3 times by the time I was 12.
Yeah.
And all of those marriages were all about money.
Really?
So my mum inherited quite a lot of money when she was married to my dad, who was the first husband.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't cope with having a lot of money coming to the household. He used to write everything down. He was what we call a money tyrant. When I talk, I use the money types in my coaching.
Yeah.
And he was what we call the money tyrant. He was a bit controlling, manipulative, you know, really sort of, like the financial success, but it was all very... all very stressful.
So even though he had money, he was afraid of losing money then. Would you say that's what it was? Or parting with money?
Yeah, I think it was a case of, I mean, bearing in mind, he was probably right to a certain extent, because mum was like painting the cornice with gold leaf. You know, I mean, seriously, we had a drawing room in the house that we lived in. And she was painting the cornice with gold leaf, and she loved to spend. You see, so my dad was like, keeping hold. So he was partially right, but anyway. So that marriage finished. Second marriage came along, and he wasn't very nice. So this is when mum decided to pack me and my sister off to boarding school.
Oh wow!
And whereas we left, I was 7 then. Whereas we left quite a lovely house with really nice house on the Isle of Wight we lived. When I crossed the threshold into boarding school, I essentially became the pauper.
Wow.
Because the people at the boarding school there, and again, I was the youngest boarder there, were just not in the same league that we were, and made it reasonably clear.
Are you saying that these were of a different caliber of money and social?
Yeah, so Sarah Ferguson was my head girl.
Wow.
At the time, yeah. I had a Gucci in the next dorm. You know, so they're just different league people, right? From where we were.
Yeah.
So it was really strange. So I went from sort of having a general feeling of financial well-being, even though I didn't know I had it at the time, to all of a sudden feeling exposed, and, you know, a lot of self-worth issues came up, a lot of self-esteem, along with just being feeling like a bit of an outcast. So then it's sort of like within the next three, you know, within 2.5 years, it completely switched around. So the fact that we really didn't have any money, we went from a beautiful 8-bedroomed home to a small damp cottage, of which I'm extremely grateful, because I know people have it a lot worse. And I was able to go to the local school and join the free school meals queue. So I'm grateful for that. But it didn't have to turn me upside down.
Yeah.
You know?
And this is where you learn to understand the emotional value or devalue, or the emotional understanding of what synthetic and authentic money means in people's lives.
Exactly.
At 10.
Yeah.
You started your apprenticeship very early in life, girl.
Yeah. Have a first job at 11.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, most people in life don't really get to understand the severity. Now, I say that because severity of money in both ways, in having too much and too little. And I don't think it's ever a balance unless you really understand your emotional management of money. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, totally. But the interesting part that I found later on is that you can, and some of the tools that I use with my clients, like looking at our money story, looking at our money identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking about our history and history with it, which of course is important, and it plays a really big part of the game that is going on.
Yeah.
But we also then have to look at the relationship we have with ourselves generally, and look at the relationship that we have with our parents. How confident did, you know, how much confidence did our parents get to fill us with? You know, I mean, my mum was, she wasn't parented. She was shoved off the boarding school at 7 years old as
well.
She wanted us to be the most amazing people, which unfortunately meant that we were just a continual disappointment to her, of which she was very happy to tell us about that on number, you know, quite often. So there were all these things that came up. So moving on from that, I decided, I had set the intention that I was going to be a millionaire. I didn't know what it meant. It didn't have a strategy with it, obviously.
It didn't mean anything, though. It's like you say, I want to be a millionaire. Were you trying to, you know, rekindle the past, or did it actually have a purpose to its goal?
Its purpose was, it was an away from motivation, of course. If I become a millionaire, that is such an enormous amount of money, which it was back then, back in 1480. But
it was AD.
Yeah. It was an enormous amount of money. So that, of course, would be ample and more than enough to keep me safe. I never had any dreams of gold-plated cars, mansions on hillsides. I never had any dreams of that. That didn't that wasn't part of my remit, but it was about feeling safe. Okay. And there then began the journey of, I describe it as collecting money.
So, you're one of the leading money coaches in the country. I know this.
Yeah.
Do you really feel that money can bring stability? I mean, does money really add value to life, Fanny? You know,
only partnered with a healthy relationship with the self.
Tell me about that.
Well, if you can fill your bank account. I mean, I work with people first and foremost with all levels of wealth. Specifically with people who actually probably have more money than most, the top 5% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
However, the top 5% of the population also have can have just as much debt, if not more, than the people who aren't the top 5%.
That's just such a contradiction almost, isn't it?
Sure. But, I can't remember the exact figures, but Charles Dickens said, I'll do it in modern day terms, if you earn £20,000 and you spend £19,999, you'll be fine. If you earn £20,000 and you spend £20,000 and a pound, it's sooner or later, it's going to go wrong.
Yeah. And do you think that is the case for the majority of the population?
What, that they spend more than they
earn? Yes.
Well, on average, we're supposed to spend, there's a figure for this, it's about 113% of our income is spent. That's the current figure.
Wow.
The average. But we're talking average.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Who's average? A very small percentage of the population. Who lands on that particular mark? So, you know, when we're talking about our relationship with money.
Yeah.
Money's interesting. And this is one of the reasons why I love money, because money tends to magnify who we already are.
Now, let me just come back, because you said now, listeners, when Fanny says loves money, this isn't materialistic or egotistical. Fanny loves money in the way of understanding the importance of how money behaves in people's lives. So that'd be just for our listeners to get a real clear understanding of the value of who I'm working with you or we're having a conversation with. It's not about money because it fills Fanny's bank account. It's about understanding the value and the emotional, let's say, play out the money brings in people's lives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
because you don't say enough good things about yourself, girl, so I have to do that for you.
Oh, okay. Okay. The thing is, you can have all the money in the world and be miserable as hell.
Yeah.
And plenty of people are, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's about making choices from a place within whereby you feel competent and clear that you're making decisions that you're going to be happy with now and in 5 years' time.
Okay.
That's sort of it, really. So people tend to, I mean, I had somebody email me today and they talked about, I just can't decide what to do. I've got analysis paralysis with what to do with my money. Now that would tell me that, you know, and she's asked me for a chat.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fantastic tools that I use are called the money archetypes, the money types.
Yeah.
And I learned about them when I did my training as to become a certified money coach with the Money Coaching Institute in America. Fantastic place. CEO Deborah Price. And she came up with these 8 characters, fictional characters, who all behave and think about money very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, we do all these quizzes online and it'll tell you about your money personality and all this. I don't hold with any of that, and neither do my fellow money coaches at the Money Coaching Institute.
Mm-hmm.
What we say is we all have these money types within us, and it's really us deciding which one or ones are going to be the driver of our financial life.
Wow.
So there's a fantastic quote by, I don't know if you've heard of the writer Ayn Rand.
No.
She wrote a book called Things Like Fountainhead. She was quite controversial back in her day.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her quotes was, money is simply a tool and it will take us wherever we wish to go, but it will not replace us, to replace you as the driver.
Wow. That is such a powerful statement, eh?
Yeah. So just going back quickly to my story, because I think this is important, where the relationship with money really came in with me. When I did reach millionaire status,
mm-hmm.
of which what that meant was, by the way, I was with Neil and I, we were both self-employed. We didn't have a joint salary higher than 40K. But I was very much thinking, if I wanted to buy a property, which was going to be good for me financially, I would get the job to enable me to do that.
Okay.
If I wanted to make sure that I was always investing so that I called myself an investor, I might not have a curry and use the money to put into investment. So okay. Don't get this idea that both of us are sitting there earning a fortune mm-hmm. and that we're able just to build wealth. It wasn't. It was done by sort of like bits and bobs, just trying to wow. get there, but just investing. Yeah. So when the seventh digit appeared on my net worth, whatever that means, right, back in 2011 or something like that,
yeah.
I looked at Neil and I said, Neil, we've done it. We've got a million.
Yeah.
And he looked at me. This is my husband of about 10 years at this point. He looked at me and he goes, well, it hasn't got anything to do with me, has it? And it was like, oh my goodness. It was like a shot between the eyes.
Yeah.
Because he's not interested in money. Of course I was going to marry somebody who wasn't interested in money because I was the fat controller of it, right?
I see. Wow.
Why would I marry somebody who's interested? Because I'm going to look after myself, aren't
yeah.
I? I'm not going to let anybody interfere with my financial journey.
Wow.
So
Where did I leave you as a person then, Fiona?
Well, this was it. And I at the time, I just went, oh, my God. So there were supposed to be bells, whistles, flags and trumpets. And actually nothing happened. A bit like a birthday, right? You're still the same person as the day you were before. But it did leave. It left a hole. And I think that that was definitely the beginning of my midlife crisis, where I started stacking up the things in my life that weren't working. So I suddenly thought, I'm not happy with my job. The money makes no difference. Actually, Neil and my relationship wasn't particularly fantastic at that time. And so there were a number of things that needed fixing. Neil and I did a big rejuvenation, and that was good. How long have you been married, Paul?
Deb says about 16 years.
Okay. Deb says. But I think anybody who's been in a long marriage, it goes in cycles. And, you know, long relationships take work. And
yeah.
so we were able to work on that. I was able to start thinking about my job. So I became a personal bookkeeper, basically. So I decided that what I would do, because I was good at managing money on a practical level, I started getting clients and teaching them financial literacy, nothing to do with how they thought about money, just financial literacy. So I would have professional people come online or come to my house and I would start showing them my amazing money mapping system.
Yeah.
And they weren't interested. Well, they were, but they'd either be sick, cry, or ask to go and clean the
loo. Because you brought the reality of the money in their life.
Well, it wasn't so much that. It was I suddenly realized that it wasn't the ability that they didn't have. Because we all say, oh, well, nobody's taught about finances. You don't. I mean, yeah, okay, that comes. But there's no point teaching people how to do spreadsheets and do personal bookkeeping if they haven't got the mindset to do it in the first place.
Wow.
So that was what made it clear to me that it wasn't not knowing how to do it. They didn't want to do it for whatever reason. Wow. So that's when I then found the Money Coaching Institute.
Yeah.
Went and trained with them for a year and a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And trained as a certified money coach, but also a couples money coach and certified business archetype coach.
Listen, hold our thought, girl. Hold our thought, because here's what I'm doing. I'm going to throw us into our first ad, listeners. So we're going to be back, listeners, in about 90 seconds. So this is a time that you can get to listen what's going on outside of the show. And we will be back, man.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Oh, happy days. Oh, happy days. We are back in, of course, and we are with the Bonnie Snake, the money Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, as she spins around and lets the money fly by night. Bonnie, thank you for coming on. We are back in after the ad. I have a question.
Yeah.
Actually, two questions. My first question is, feel of what we want compared to others. So, like, or do you feel we make money? So when we're spending money, are we spending money because we need to spend it on us or because we need to spend it to become what somebody else is?
So what you're talking about is keeping up with the Joneses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you can't talk about everybody. But look, I've got a secret about the Joneses. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
They're broke.
So we have life envy going on, okay? I mean, that happens because of social media. So the people we are envious of are actually broke anyway.
Yeah.
That's mad. When you think about it, just that to me is crazy. It's like I'm trying to live up to the people who are already flat broke anyway.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you find that people that do have an abundance are life broke, but not money broke, perhaps?
No, not everybody. No, I mean, look, for me, the thing is all about trying to find the balance.
Mm-hmm.
So how's a good way to describe this?
We have time.
Balance comes from within.
Oh, okay?
So it's that feeling that when you put your head on the pillow at night, that you have a feeling that everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have a feeling that you are the master of your destiny, like it's an internal locus of control rather than an external locus of control. What's going on around you, you can't control what's going on around you, but you can control what's going on within you.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you're constantly striving for something, if you're constantly going, I've got to get this, and you're living your life in scarcity, you're living your life in lack, whether it be to get to a certain career goal or mm-hmm. anything. You know, Eckhart Tolle, I mean, most of the people I know have read it, The Power of Now. I don't know if you've read it. But
I have, yeah.
It's like if you're constantly looking forwards or you're constantly looking backwards, what happens to now?
Wow.
So it's really, if you're looking to be financially well, it means that you're going to have to, you want to have enough money in your life, a flow of money coming into and out of your life. This is going to look after you until you pop your clogs. Or include the legacy, you know,
I mean,
or so that you can leave a legacy for your children.
You mentioned the word flow there. Now let's talk about the flow of money, because I have a theory on this. I believe money is designed to flow, and that the moment it becomes stagnant, like stuck in some building society account, it loses its life and purpose.
Well, it loses more than that right now.
Well, I'm not good with those kinds of numbers, girl, for sure. But do you feel that money has to have an emotional flow, or it becomes stagnant, it becomes unpurposeful in life?
Yeah, of course it has to flow. So money, if you were to think, I'm looking in front of me, actually, at the most amazing book. It's by a lady called Dr. Maria Nemeth, and it's called The Energy of Money.
Energy of Money.
The Energy of Money.
Okay.
It's a really good book. And the thing is, you can say, money is a tool, right? Generally, it's a tool. Mm-hmm. But it's given energy by the values that we attach to it.
Okay.
So when we say that we have problems with money or whatever, we don't have problems with money. We have problems with the exchange of money, because it's only when we start giving it to each other or putting it in a bank or doing whatever we do with it that the problems happen. To all intents and purposes, when it's sitting there by itself, it's not actually creating any problems, except that it gets stuck. Like, for instance, with you saying I've got plenty of work with plenty of people who have a fear of spending money. That used to be me to a certain extent at one point. Like, you know, you can't let go of things. Oh my God, you know, you can't buy this, you can't buy that. Yeah. But as you release that and start decluttering your house and decluttering your life, you then give space for more things to flow in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
that's the same with money. You have to let it go for more to come in.
Well, we know this, don't we? So you somebody might go and buy a house with the small amount of deposit that you've saved, and then go and borrow a whole load from a building society, let's say. But you're doing that for two reasons, usually. One, you want a roof over your head, which we get. But you're also assuming, whether you speak it or not, that it's going to increase in value.
Yeah.
Aren't you? So you're wanting it to grow. You're wanting it to do something.
Yeah.
But if you just shut money away in a safe and go, I want that money just to, you know, you could put some money away in a safe, you know, for like to keep that liquid cash.
Yeah.
But it needs to flow. Speculate to accumulate.
Yeah. I have a philosophy, and tell me if this is wrong. I believe if I can afford something by 50%, I'll do it. And then my intentions of that purchase and what I get out of that purchase will add that value in my life that I'll bring that other 50% in to pay for it.
So if you can afford it by the price plus 50%?
No, if something is £2,000 and I have £1,000 on me and I'm able to find another £1,000 another month later that will finish off the payment of that, I believe that the intention, because it's a positive intention,
I'll
be able to find that £1,000, especially in business. I say if you can afford something by 50%, do it. And then by implementing that into life, the other 50% will organically come in from that intention.
Yes, but I'm going to put a caveat to that.
Oh, I love that.
There are a lot of sharky salespeople out there. And I think that if you are strong enough in mind, like you are, to be able to make that decision and follow through, and you're absolutely certain that you've made that decision that you are going to spend that £1,000 on this £2,000 product, and then you're going to totally and utterly lean in to do the work and to actually get the results that you want, then that's fine. But what I don't like, and I see too much of, are people going on, say, 5-day challenges and are then basically brainwashed for 5 days and are then asked to spend £10,000 on a sales program, whatever, of which they don't have any. And they're going, look, don't worry. The money will come. Yeah. And I know. And the reason I talk about this is because I'm the one that gets the people who haven't had the results and are now £10,000 short.
Wow. Talking about that, how do we find you, Fanny Snaith, on the airwaves of social media and website and all that stuff?
Well, it's very, very easy, because it's www.fannysnaith.com.
Fanny Snaith, Fanny is easy. It's FANNY, and Snaith is SNAITH.
Correct.
It's simple. So fannysnaith.com, that's it.
Yep. That's the thing. I'm on Instagram. I've got it on YouTube, but it's all under the same name.
And you have packages, girl, yeah?
I have packages. I have a one-to-one coaching package with mm-hmm. Obviously with individuals, one-to-one, but I also coach couples too. Oh,
wow. I think that's so important. When people get married, they're bringing in their different understanding of the shape of money from their past.
Mm.
Then they're trying to shape that into, you know, a lovable relationship, because money isn't lovable. You have to become someone that understands how to love money. You can't love you. You have to love it. Do you agree?
Sort of.
Oh, like, this is why we're having these conversations, girl.
Can I reframe that a little bit?
Yeah, go for it.
So bearing in mind that I collected all my money through fear.
Wow.
I was trying not to be what happened when my father got blackmailed and gave all our money away. That's what I didn't want to have happen. I didn't want to lose all our money. So that it was all through fear. So I was thinking, that clearly...
Was that positive money then, though? Can fear money stay with you?
Yes. Because you give it a different energy when you have it. So the money, I didn't... Well, I'll answer this question. So I, at that time, said, I've done all this through fear and it's ugly and it doesn't make me feel nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to find a way to turn it around to not have it like this. And I didn't know what the answer was at the time. And I then created what I call the financial adventure. Whereas if you can approach your financial life with courage and mm-hmm. curiosity, you can turn the whole of the energy around with it. So I will say to people, look, I can see that you are enduring your financial life right now and that it's miserable. So let's just forget everything you're supposed to know, everything that you do know, and let's just start again. But let's approach it with curiosity and courage. And it's going to be an adventure.
Now,
I'm not talking Dora the Explorer. We are talking very likely Indiana Jones. And yes, there are very likely times when you're going to feel like you're running down a corridor with a fireball chasing you.
You
may even have to dive into that nest of vipers at the other end.
Wow.
But there is a kind of excitement and a kind of like, it's a journey that mm-hmm. I can conquer, that I can do this, because it's not difficult, but it's all about the approach.
Yeah,
it's all about the approach. And this is why then I take my 8 money types
mm-hmm.
and I give my clients a really rather lovely tour bus to travel on. And I ask them, and I put the money types on as passengers. Innocent, victim, warrior, martyr, fool, creator, artist, tyrant, and magician. And I ask them, who are you putting at the wheel? Who is at the wheel of your financial life right now?
Wow, that is so clever.
Mm. And you know what? Do you know what I find for most people in England? Nobody's at the wheel.
Well, I tell who's at my wheel is the little boy who doesn't care about money. That's who's at my wheel.
And that will probably be the innocent.
Yeah, he's that. Because...
Head in the sand, don't want to have anything to do with it. It doesn't excite, you know, I don't want to do it. I'm not very good at it. But I'm going to smile and everything's fine on the outside. But actually on the inside, I feel a little bit anxious about it. And I just really hope that somebody's going to come along and just do it all for me and everything.
So I'm about to purchase this bike I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
I've only got 50% of it. I have no idea when I'm going to get the other 50%. But guess what? It's on order. So I've got to make it happen. Now, that bike is my well-being. It's my worth. It's where it's my exhaust. So it's important. Mm-hmm. Biking has always been a big part of my life. And Deb said, okay, go for it, Paul. And she knows that somewhere she's like, how are you going to make this happen? I said, well, we've got 50%. The other is going to happen. And I've got very short space of time to make this happen. But I tell you what, I'm in, Fanny Snaith. I'm in.
Now, you see, if you were working with Fanny Snaith, what we would be doing is, once we've created your money map, which obviously you need a map for an adventure, right?
Yeah.
We would put your new bike in as part of your map many months ago, and you would have been setting aside some money every month to buy this mysterious bike that was going to appear at some point. You go, well, that one, right?
Yeah.
And so you would then go and you go, that's okay, I have a pot. I've got a little pot of money, which is called bike fund. And you would have gone, there it is.
But I'm the little boy that doesn't want to wait.
Yeah, no, I get that. But this is when you have innocent and fool at the wheel.
Yeah, that's it.
You don't tend to get to be that, to have the, we haven't got the qualities of the magician at the wheel, yeah, which is doing things through faith, trust and balance, and then using the warrior to take the action to get there.
So at my wheel, we've got the innocent and the fool driving
possibly
together.
You'll have to take the money type quiz that's on my website.
Oh, man, I don't know if I can. It would say too much about myself.
Yeah, but it's the thing is, there's the first step to change is conscious awareness, right?
Wow. And this is common, though, Fanny, yeah? You know, yes, you work with clients, and that's what I love about what you do. You know, we are almost estranged from the want to look at our money issues. Let me jump in, your listeners, because we're going to do something, and we're going to jump into our second commercial. And when we come back there, we're going to dive back into this and the reality of money habits, because this is where we are right now. And get your pen and paper ready, because Fanny's going to blast out her contact details again for you to reach out to her and look at something you haven't looked at ever. Here we go.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gum.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Money, 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 I must be funny in a rich man's world. That's where we are, man. We're talking about money, money, money with Barney Snape. Barney Snape.
You're mad. Mad as a box of frogs, you are.
I heard you say that the other day. It's like, I hadn't heard that saying for so long. I mean, a box of frogs, you know, it is a bit chaotic, isn't it? But I'm sure there's some kind of organisation in that box of who gets out first. I mean, there's seniority everywhere, do you know what I mean?
Or who stays in the longest.
Oh, wow. And whoever stays in the longest is the most invested in the one getting out.
Possibly.
Perhaps they're all investing into each other. And talk about investing. Let's talk about the reality of money habits.
All right.
Because we're touching on this anyway, but I have a money habit. This is coming to the surface here.
Come on then, Paul.
And that money habit is, of course, is that, and I, you know, I'm going to be open about this. I was brought up where credit was happiness in my childhood home.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I was brought up.
Yeah.
Everything was purchased on the catalogue and paid weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that is probably, I get really excited about getting into debt. Figure that. I get excited about getting into debt more so than I do, but actually not being in debt, because that's the trigger from my childhood that created happiness. And trust me, I have to work hard on that. Now that is an emotional trigger that I have. How does that play out? Well, what does that sit? How does that sit for you? You think like, well, no.
Well, rather than, how does it sit with me? If you get excited about getting into debt, let's make it something to be excited about.
Ooh.
So rather than you getting excited about not having money to pay something off that's giving you a push-me-pull-you kind of emotion, because mm-hmm. it must be a push-me-pull-you.
Oh, yeah, totally, girl. It goes both ways. Okay. At different times in the day.
So I am always in debt, but I always have the money sitting alongside it to pay off. So, for instance, I will go and spend, I don't know, let's say, for instance, I recently spent £8,000 on something. And I could take the money out of my savings, because I always keep liquid cash that was going to help me survive, or that's going to allow me to survive for 6 to 12 months should I not be able to earn. So I have that money sitting there. So I could take money out of that and pay for it, which means I'm going to lose the pitiful amount of interest that I'm earning on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do that. But then what I'll do, so I'll put it on it. And then what I'll do is I will switch it to a 0% credit card.
Okay.
Right. Over, yeah. say, as long a time period as I possibly can and with as low a fee as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And I will then be jolly damn pleased that I keep my money back in my savings, earning the interest rate, and I'm playing it off on the slow and sticky at 0% interest in a time where inflation is getting higher and higher, which means my debt is getting smaller and smaller.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's happy days.
I see the sense to that.
However, let me just say for listeners here, I am not encouraging anyone to go into credit card debt.
Yeah.
In my book, credit cards are meant to be used to your advantage, not the credit card companies.
Okay.
So I use a credit card for everything, but at the end of every month, it's always paid off.
Yeah.
Unless it's on 0% interest and I have that money sitting there aside to pay for it should I need to.
So
will make your debt exciting.
So someone like myself then that has, and I do have credit cards.
Yeah.
So what I should be doing is actually seeking 0% interest to transfer that money over.
Yes, you should. Yeah. But then it's about stabilizing the debt, because the thing is, if you get something on 0% interest, if you've got somebody like yourself that might be that gets excited about getting into debt, we need to really work on that.
Yeah.
And make it that it's got rules if you're going to get into debt. So I don't want to encourage anyone you get it onto 0% and then you go, oh, great, I've got all this extra money that now.
That's the part that frightens me. If I do that, I've got more room to feed my habit.
Yes.
You know, and this is a lot for me. I'm sharing this on the airwaves. Yeah, it's a lot for me, you know. I'm always someone who carries my heart on my sleeve and say, you know, it's not healthy, but I know where that trigger came from. And I have times in my life where I'm very in control of it, and times in my life, especially when I dip emotionally, I'm not in control of it.
Yeah.
And I do believe, Fanny, that, you know, going through a process with you would probably be really healthy for Deb, because she's got to live with this habit.
And yeah. And one thing I would like to say to you, Paul, though, is first of all, thank you so much for sharing that obviously with me, but also the listeners. And look, we have to have these conversations. They say that they that people don't like to talk about money, that they'd rather talk about sex or death than talk about money. I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah.
In my experience, if you can get a group of people together and let them know that they're in a, or let them feel that they're in a space that is safe and that it's without judgment, people will talk about money all day long. You know, you would share a story like that and, you know, me too.
Yeah.
You know, we all of us have these habits. I have weird money habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have strange money habits. You can't not. And the more we share them, the easier it is to move past them.
Wow. I really think I need to have this conversation. On that note, how do we get hold of Fanny Snaith again?
Well, best place is to start off with the website, which is fannysnaith.com. But I don't mean to be funny or anything, but with a name like mine, I'm not that difficult to find.
No.
So if you just Google Fanny Snaith, it comes up.
Well, for a visual of that, listeners, you'll see this beautiful blonde lady. She's a beautiful blonde lady there, and you'll see a beautiful smile. And you know you've hit the right Fanny Snaith, because I doubt there's many out there in the world for sure.
Not too many.
You will absolutely hit there. And you know, Fanny, this has really been, for me, an enlightening opportunity to talk about money in the way that you talk about it, because you don't talk about it in a hard sense. You talk about it in a soft sense.
Yeah.
And it is beautiful. And, you know, I think that facing the reality of where I am with my money habits and possibly jumping in, doing something with yourself to share that result later on with the listeners, because it's easy to talk about money, but unless you've actually been through some kind of, as you say, program with yourself where you really understand how those layers have unfolded and how I then have the right tools to manage that, because, you know, it is something that I know come from my childhood, and a lot of us will have those anchors. But having professional person like yourself out there to manage it in a different way, to a financial advisor and a money broker and all these things. And that's what I love about you, Fanny. And do you think that you think that, you know, you're never going to be out to work because money is always going to be there.
I hope so.
Yeah, it will always be there.
Yeah.
And you know, where do you see yourself going over the next, you know, couple of years? Where do you see Fanny Snaith and her brilliance heading?
I would love to do more television and media work.
Which you were heavily involved in for many years, by the way. We didn't get to touch on that.
I used to work in television, but on the dark side rather than in front of the camera. I was behind the camera. I would like to get this message out there to the masses more, because I am absolutely sick to the back teeth of looking at the television and media now and the gloom and doom that goes by. I have so many exciting conversations with people who earn very little money and feel hopeless, and how we can turn that around with a couple of simple conversations.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something that we can do to get to a better place. And I also just want people to know that everybody has within them a magician and a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
All it's about is inviting them to the wheel.
Come on, innit? Here we go to all your production companies out there. Fanny Snaith, she's the one that you want to be. You want to be creating a documentary. You want to create a show. You want to get this person out on the airways. Because do you know what? Right from the age of early school to leaving to every 10-year cycle in your life, we need a Fanny Snaith to just come back in and say, hey, let's look at how you are running this, because the rate of bankruptcy is increasing dramatically. You know, I had my bankruptcy many years ago, and I was number 46 of that year at that time in April. I'm guessing it would be something like a 150,046, if that's even a number now. So it is, the rate is, and that's why we need the Fanny Snaith of the earth in here. So listeners, thank you ever so much for coming on, being here, supporting me, and above all, you know, giving us your time to listen to the show. I really do appreciate and value everybody that puts their earworm to what we share here. But above all, Fanny Snaith, thank you so much. Let me give you a round of applause. Happy day.
Well, just thank you so much for inviting me, and I hope the listeners enjoy the show and it helps to get them to have a little bit of a positive spark come within them when it comes to money. That's what
Yeah, very much, girl. And you know, reach out to Fanny. She's a life currency, money currency, and all kind of currency person. She's absolutely beautiful. Until this time next week, listeners, boom, you have a money making week. Bye for now. Emotions are